Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? Yeah, that's this show. Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio. It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink, and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just got to call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out. And then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what is going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Thank you, man, Wendy. Man. Wendy's in the room there, said it.
If you could hear all the microphones, it would be like a chorus, a cacophony of hey, man.
Yeah, hopefully we get those modules back in and the mics will get working. Either way, you know it'll be an open mic Friday on this program. Craig behind the glass producing the show, engineering today. Of course, Bo Morgan's our executive producer. They're back there chopping it up with Mark Owens.
Craig's in his bag already because President was in town making America great again and apparently causing traffic for young Americans like Craig Valentino.
Listen, been there, done that, and I know some people knew, some others didn't. Maybe you're not paying attention. But, yeah, when the president comes into town, all roads get shut down.
It is kind of neat. Last time President Obama was here, because I can see, I used to be able to see on 75, there's so much construction, all the buildings going up. But to see the interstate completely empty, and then to see that giant motorcade, Carl, with, like, the state troopers, and, you got all those Secret Service trucks, and then boom, and they're moving, too, man. I mean, they are moving. It's pretty neat to see.
Yeah, until you get caught behind it.
Yeah, let's see, of course, behind a giant rolling roadblock on 75.
And I know you're probably wondering, because like you're like, well, if they pass me and then I'm able to get on the highway, why can't I get on the highway? The road has to be completely clear, okay? Right. This is all security protocol stuff. Mm-hmm. But either way, Craig, I've been there. National championship, okay? President came in for half.
And I remember I walked home, I got stuck.
You couldn't even walk across the street. So we got in our cars to leave and try to get back home to watch the game. And we were stuck. I was stuck on Marietta Street.
And then it started to rain.
For about an hour.
And it was cold rain. And for folks who were trying to get in the bands, that's the deal. Yeah. You literally had to hold in place at the corner. You couldn't even cross the street.
Yeah. By the way, this is not a Trump thing. This is all presidents, okay?
No, I mean, I just explained. Yes. Well, I remember the time that
somebody's going, oh, that's not Trump. No, it's not just Mr. Trump.
No, don't get, people, just listen to what we're saying. Whenever a president is here, whatever his persuasion, remember the time that President Obama was at the Varsity, and I was looking out the balcony of my binoculars.
Yeah.
And then I saw the spotters from the Secret Service looking at me and then slowly walked back in and waved.
Yeah, that's not a good look.
And then shut the sliding glass door because, well, again, I didn't have a weapon. I just had a guy in my boxers with a pair of binocs.
I'm going to tell you a secret, though. They know who you are.
That didn't sound right either.
That didn't sound right. Why are you in your boxers? And why do you have binoculars? But never mind that.
Well, I used to be, again, before all these high-rises went up, I could look down and see if there was a line outside Jay Christopher's. Right? You know, I could look over to, like, the Flying Biscuit all the way over and see if there was a line outside there. Now, there's so many things that have gone up in Midtown. No, you can't see either one of those places.
They know who you are before you saw them, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
They've already done that thorough check of the area, and they know who's who. So it's not even about you seeing them. They're like, hey, how are you doing? It is Dukes and Bell, man. We got a lot to get to. Hey, we are counting down to the draft, as many of you are. And we're going to answer a few questions today on the program in regards to this draft, how things are going to look going into tomorrow. Today is an interesting day from the standpoint most teams today, they lock in. You're not getting up tomorrow morning and going, you know what? I changed my mind.
Right.
Today, most teams are locked in. If you've been weighing back and forth on a particular player in this draft, all right, Falcons, and you've got five guys that you're thinking about and you think they're going to potentially be there if you're not going to move up and get the guy you want, today's the day you go, we're definitely doing this. Because, Mike, you cannot go into tomorrow's draft as it gets underway and there's still this uncertainty. So here's the deal for me today, and it's funny because Cliff Kingsbury talked. They're having, I guess, the voluntary workouts, and ironically, Josh Rosen's there working out because he's the quarterback, well, until tomorrow. But Cliff Kingsbury of the Cardinals, the head coach, said, we're still not sure where we want to go. Stop lying. Stop lying.
I mean, again, guys, we talked about this yesterday. If everybody knew how to do this correctly, everybody would always have a job, and every team in the NFL at one point would win the Super Bowl. It's not the way it works. These guys are rolling the dice. There's evaluations that are completely off. And, again, you think you might, but you cannot get a definitive answer about a guy's motor. Remember Rashid Hageman? That's what made that pick so goofy. They even knew going in the guy had to press the right buttons to motivate him. And we still drafted him. And, again, the results were a mixed bag at best. We're just getting him back in. But, I mean, first things first, Carl, get your card in. Remember back in 03?
Oh, yeah.
Vikings didn't get the card in time. That's a thing, too. But I do think, and I'm curious to see what you think, bro. After all this talk, is it pure misdirection about Kyler Murray with the Cardinals? Or are they going to – a guy who recruited him in college, a guy that was brought in to probably run an exciting offense, and this is the guy for it? It's hard to buy the Cardinals with this – the way they're slow rolling this pick and the way they're trying to make it sound like Josh is an option for them, Josh Rosen moving forward.
I think there's two things working here, Mike. And, guys, we'd love to hear from you as well. Text us, 404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can find us on social media. Like the station on Facebook if you've not done so, 929 The Game, on Twitter and Instagram. Mike and I are at Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, see Dukes, the radio show Dukes and Bell 929. One, they are shopping Josh Rosen, right? I said the other day I'd keep him just based on the cost. And if you're going to go get a backup quarterback, it's probably going to cost you more. But if you bring in Kyler Murray, the dynamic of having those two guys in the same room probably is not going to work. So you're shopping him. So I think that's number one. And that's what they're saying when they go, well, we're not sure what we want to do yet. No, what they're saying is we're shopping him. I mean, we haven't gotten the right deal yet. Now, that can happen between now and tomorrow night before the draft, and it probably will. The other thing is, they got to have everybody believe that Kyler Murray, if you do this pick, Mike, and we said this, this system that they're going to be running, and it's not anything I don't think the NFL has seen, but you have to totally buy in that he is the right guy for this system because everybody's job's on the line now. You've got a head coach that came in and said, this is the guy I want, this is the guy I like. And that's the other thing that I think is working here, Mike, is that everybody in the building has to be on the same page with taking Kyler Murray. You can't have two guys in the back going, what's this guy doing? You can't.
Well, I mean, if you feel that this guy is going to be the transformative player, and we've talked all about the size and all the measurables, all the silly stuff that came off in the combine, the guy's a winner. You know, he's just a winner in high school. He's a winner in college, everything but the national championship. And he's going to do all the things you can do. And, look, Josh is a guy. He was the fourth quarterback taken in that draft.
10th overall.
You know, so, you know, there's a market for the guy because he's got a cannon for an arm, too, in his own right. And if you watch the tape, like, his tape isn't bad either from UCLA, you know. It's hard to, you know, try to quantify it because of the defense they play out there. But he can land in New York, Miami Dolphins, and I still think it's going to be the Patriots at the end of the day. Because nobody wants to give up a first-rounder or even a second-rounder in some cases.
Yeah, that's the craziness. You pick him 10th overall last year, and nobody wants to give a first-rounder up for him. We'll see how it plays out. But the Cardinals are playing those games. Meanwhile, we're going to get into what the Falcons are doing, who they're looking at. And as we said, the decision of who we're going with, that decision is being made as you focus in on a few guys. We'd love to hear from you guys. We've got a lot to get to. Mike mentioned it. It's plain and simple for me. The bullpen is crap, okay? Let's stop clowning around and being nice about this. When you talk about who can stay and who can go, and Mike, right now for me, I do have a solution to this, but the Braves need to make some moves. Biddle, he's terrible. Sabatka, not that far behind. Biddle continues to be bad, and you say, Dukes, how? Guys, he's got 11 innings pitched this month, 9 walks. He almost has as many walks as innings that he's pitched for the Braves, and his strikeouts are not right there. I mean, in the last 7 days, his strikeouts, what he's got, 7 walks in the last 7 days of work. And that, we're not talking about full games. We're talking about a third of an inning here and there. Biddle has not been good. Last night, Mike, he was terrible.
Yeah, the bullpen continues to just be a roller coaster. And, you know, just when you start feeling good about it, you see what you saw last night. You know, it's the walks. I mean, it's the walks. It's just unbelievable. You know, the team, you're a defensive player behind them in the field. That's the stuff that drives people crazy. We've talked about this with guys before. You're out there. Your team rallies. You know, you chase Sonny Gray out of the box. Things are looking good. You know, and by the way, you had all those things going all your way in the top of the inning. And then the bottom of the inning, it's nothing more demoralizing for a team than that. But the walks. And I even give Snicker credit because knowing how crap the bullpen is, he even gave Gausman a chance. He went up to the, remember, had the mound visit, stayed with Gausman, and Gausman let him down. And then the bullpen continued to let him down. You know, and you talked about it, man. Biddle, it's like a wiffle ball. I mean, it's not even fair to a wiffle ball. At least a wiffle ball is going to break.
Yeah, I'm over this. And here's how you fix it. Call me crazy. You bring up Bryce Wilson. I don't know what happened to Luis Gohar. If he's healthy, bring him up. Kobe Allert, why is he pitching in the minors when he can help us in the bullpen? Tookie, you're in the pen now. Mike, let's put all these arms that we continue to talk about in the pen and get the guys out who are not doing the job. It's the month of April. I've said this. These are the games that are going to come back to bite you in September when you go, man, we're six games out. Yeah, those are the six games we were clowning around with this bullpen.
And that's why, guys, when we were throwing it back, this goes all the way back to, you know, December, January, about why weren't the Braves being more active and beefing up the bullpen, getting another starter. Now, again, let's hope Soroka, who's going to go tonight, can get cooking. Remember last year had a couple of great starts against the Mets, and then unfortunately he tweaked his arm or his back or whatever it was. If Soroka can get back and can be a real contributor here, and do what Fried is doing, well, then we're okay. But then you're still going to have to address the bullpen at the trade deadline. But let's hope Soroka can get that form he had for a couple of starts last year.
The starters, again, I think Fried has been spectacular. Arguably your best starter right now. Folty's coming back Saturday. Gausman, you mentioned it last night. He wasn't terrible, but at the end of the day, he needed the bullpen to pick him up. Turan? How's Julio been? We really haven't talked about it, but he's
Julio. It's kind of like what you expect. He's been pretty good.
Yeah, but he's not been the problem, and that's what I'm getting to. So I don't know, man. I just think that you make fundamental changes in the bullpen. Luke Jackson, AJ Minter, Wes Parsons, you guys can stay. Everybody else, gone. Let's just bring up these guys and let them pitch. And I know that sounds crazy, but this is why Snicker walked out there last night, because he's like, ooh, all right, I really don't want to go to the pen, but...
But again, you know, you look at guys, I can get him, Skip, and he couldn't get him. And what really, as I said, you know, if you look back at the game last night, how about the at-bat Nick Markakis had? You know, he works the count, he gets the sack. I mean, that's the kind of stuff, the little things you do to grind out a win. You score six runs, you're supposed to win.
Yep.
I said it on Twitter last night, even in a Mickey Mouse stadium like the Great American Ballpark, where it's like a launching pad, that was tough. And then even tougher is Ozzie Albies can't get the bunt down. That was tough. That was bad, by the way. And then Josh Donaldson, he nearly, you know, if the wind's blowing maybe, or if he gets maybe one more inch of lumber on that ball, it's a home run. And the Braves are right back in business, but didn't play out for him because your bullpen puts you in that position.
Yeah, I just, you know, I don't know, and I'm not going to say the fan base. I will say that the organization is being very patient. And again, I said this, it's the month of April. So they're like, okay, we're 500 team. Let's see where we are next month. I just think this doesn't get any better. That's my issue with it. So, you know, again, and right now it's not me being down on Biddle. The numbers scream he has an issue. He's walking way too many guys.
No, but the good news is the Braves are right in the mix in this division because, you know, the Mets are in first place right now. They're three games over 500. They're batting. They're hitting better than we ever expected this season going into the year. Philly is just, you know, one win better than the Braves. Nationals, same record as us. So the good news is it's all jumbled right now in the East, but you are going to, if this continues for another 2 months, you're going to have to go be aggressive at the trade deadline.
Yeah, and if you don't want to spend money, this is why I'm giving you this alternative. If we continue to talk about, well, they're not going to spend money, well, then you know what? You go use what you've got.
Well, then Kobe Allert or somebody has to get traded, right? Then you got to move on from some of these guys. And that's why I'm saying let them all come up and see what they can do.
Yes.
Because
that's exactly right. You cannot
hold on to all of these pitching prospects like the family jewels. Some of these guys, if you want to go get a middle reliever, look, you know what, Carl? Mike Bielecki's not walking through that door. Brad Klontz is not walking through that door. Steve Bedrosian is not walking through that door. That's what they need. Go back and look at the Braves in the 90s. I looked it up today earlier. The middle relievers were unbelievable. It wasn't just a great starting pitching.
It's true. Bullpens have always mattered. I think they matter more even now because of the way baseball has moved to not allow starting pitchers to pitch as much as we've seen in the past. Right. So you rely on the bullpen a lot more. We'll talk more about the Braves, man. We've got solutions on Dukes and Bell. Hey, coming up, he's been one of the best players in the association. It's time to put some respect on his name.
Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell inside the Kia studios. It's out of program. Brought to you by Kia. Go to KiaDealers.com. Get all the details. Can't wait. We'll be at Mercedes-Benz, by the way, stadium tomorrow. All day doing the show. They'll have a special draft show with Wes Druham and Dave Archer, Randy McMichael, Mike Conti, all part of that. And, you know, one thing about the draft, I think we'd all agree, if you love the NFL, like we know you do based on how much you love the Falcons, or if you're a transplant, whoever your team is, this is like Christmas morning for, you know, for football fans. I mean, the whole weekend. If you're a nerd like me, now I'm not going to sit there and watch Carl the sixth and seventh round. I can read it online or I can get the ticker.
Yeah.
But there's just something as a fan that is so exciting about, you know, even whether we're going to move up. And there's the big drama. As we said, there's that, oh, and up in Nashville will be on the street. Oh, when you get the news that somebody is moving up. But just looking forward to seeing what we're going to do. Because as you said to Andy Bunker, as we were starting the show, we're not a million pieces away. We're getting guys back that were huge pieces that were out last year because of injury. If we can just lean on these offensive linemen and they do the job that we picked up, you're good to go. You just need one or two pieces on the defense.
Half the NFL, and I was talking to Andy about this. I said to him, half the NFL is 3 to 4 years away. The other half, okay, and many of these teams we saw in the playoffs last year or were close to the playoffs, like us, without the injuries. Are we a playoff team last year? I'm willing to tell you we are, but didn't play out that way. The other half of the teams in the NFL are literally 2 to 3 players away. And that's how you have to view this. And I said this. There are teams who are viewing this draft as a building block for the next 3 years. Let's go find our offensive linemen. Let's go shore up some things in the process. Let's find our quarterback. We got all that. We got all that stuff. So that's why I keep thinking, Mike, and again, we don't know. We're not at Flowery Branch, but this is why if they do make a big move, it will not surprise me. And I say this, I'm going to say it tomorrow. We're not keeping all 9 of these draft picks.
And according to Dear Orlando Ledbetter from the AJC, you know, the guy I want is Christian Wilkins. And I thought we could stand pat at 14. He feels that Green Bay is going to jump in there and they'll take him. Teams in front of us might take Wilkins. So you might even have to trade up to get him, let alone a guy like Quinnen Williams. There's so many rumors that are floating about us, like everybody else. So you try to cut through it. But, I mean, you could make the argument, as you and I did yesterday, and Andy was talking about it today, that, yeah, you could go up big. You could do that Julio Jones swing for the fences, especially since Dan is running the defense. And if Dan locks in on a guy on the defensive side, we totally trust him, Carl. Look, you can go from worst to first in this league. It's happened in this division. The Colts got competitive by 2 great drafts. Saints got back in the mix from being in 7-9 with a great draft. We went to the Super Bowl off a great draft.
It happens. Absolutely right. And here's the thing for me. There's only 3 positions, in my opinion, that you make a move up like this for. And we've seen it with the Julio Jones, you know, type of wide receiver, difference maker. The other 2 positions are quarterback and edge rusher. That's it. You don't do this for an offensive tackle. No. And tackles get paid a lot of money in this league, but it's rare where a team moves up. Now, teams have taken offensive tackles number 1 overall, but they haven't moved to get him, you know, 6 or 7 or 8 spots. You don't do that for a guard. You certainly don't do it for a center. So that's the thing. If this is one of those drafts where you feel like that could be the situation, the Falcons then could definitely do something. It is Dukes and Bell, man. We got a lot to talk about today. Coming up, by the way, next hour, we'll get you caught up on all the NFL news. Big Ben gets a new deal. Beast Mode says bye-bye again. And apparently this time he is done. So we'll talk about that coming up in less than 30 minutes. Right now, let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Well, we were talking about the Braves in this bullpen. My fix is simple. Let all these guys that are not pitching in the majors come up and pitch out of the bullpen. Sounds crazy, right? Brian Snicker, what is going on with the bullpen?
You know, we just walked too many. We walked 9, I think, in the game. We're lucky we're even in the games, and we walked that many guys.
You walked too many guys last year. You walked too many guys against the Dodgers in the NLDS. You had a chance. As great as the Dodgers were going all the way to the World Series, you still had a chance in that series. But you took yourself out with a young pitching staff that couldn't get it done and a mediocre bullpen. And, again, you've got a young pitching staff and a mediocre bullpen. It wasn't addressed.
Now, tonight, by the way, lineup is out. Ozzie, Donaldson, Freddie, Ronald Acuna hitting cleanup. Nick Markakis, Dansby, B-Mac is back in the lineup. Ender And then Mike Soroka is on the mound.
Now, Dansby, by the way, he did have a couple of big base knocks. You know, got the, you know, there was a triple early in the game.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're talking about, you know, Dansby watch. So, again, it's still early, but that's a good sign because we didn't want to see him trend all the way down to like 230s again.
And by the way, with the starters, I know Newcomb's down at AAA, and you've seen Freed and you know, Soroka come up and do a really good job for you. To me, it's who's pitching best days. If Sean Newcomb comes back, he could give you some spot starts. But, Mike, for me, put him in the bullpen, too. Who's ever pitching best stays. Everybody else, let's see what you got.
I really do think that Alex Anthopoulos and Snicker, you're right, should turn the pitching, the bullpen, into, like, the Hunger Games. Back to Gwinnett. You know what I mean? You know, let's shoot the cannon off.
Boom. Boom. Everybody earn it.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta be – look, this is experience. A lot of these guys have it. We talked about the starts. Freed's got too many innings last year to be a Rookie of the Year, so it's his time. And he's the one guy who hasn't disappointed. Fulte, that's a key right there. He has not looked sharp in his rehab starts in Gwinnett. He has got the innings up, Carl, but he's been hit hard. So can Fulte bounce back? Because, again, to your point, I don't even know what Newcomb is right now.
No, and this whole thing, well, wait till Newcomb gets – wait till what? Guys that are pitching well, you stay. Other guys, you're gone, okay?
Hey, going back to Gwinnett, you know, keep renting that apartment. Don't close out that lease.
To me, this is easy, but obviously it's not that easy. It's Dukes and Bell. It's our headline segment. Hey, we're going to talk more about the NBA playoffs coming up. But last night, the shot heard around the world from Damian Lillard. Mike, we've talked a little bit about him. He plays in Portland. I just don't think we get a chance, and I say we, I'm talking about the East Coast, to watch, stay up and watch those games and see how talented this guy is. So I'm going to give you a very interesting stat, and this blew me away. There have been five in the history of the league, five walk-off series winning buzzer beaters. This dude has two of them.
Dame into the front court. 10 seconds. Lillard now out front against George. 5 seconds. George backing up. Lillard doesn't want to pick. Dame going for the win. A three-pointer for the game. Yeah!
Absolute money. 37-footer, by the way, to be exact. And no, not only Steph Curry can make those shots. Damian Lillard, you're right. If you put him in, pick your spot. Boston, New York, Chicago. He's going to get a lot of ink and a lot more love. The only time I've actually seen the guy speak other than post-game press conference, he was in an episode of Portlandia once on ISC.
That's true. But, he's pretty charismatic,
but
too.
He's a likable dude. I mean, you put him in Los Angeles, he'd have a hell of a lot of juice, but he's in one of the smaller markets in the country. Fantastic. And we'll talk more about the post-game comments because, look, Paul George, as far as the series, every night he was going 35, 31. Paul George did his job.
Did his job.
But to throw shade at this guy, oh, that was a terrible shot. You know, tip your cap or be a B. And he decided to be a B in the postgame. I thought it was kind of job.
It was a 37-footer. Are you kidding? I mean, that's an amazing shot.
But also to have the balls to take. I mean, look, that takes a lot of huevos to make. You got to take the shot, just let alone to make the shot.
That's right.
He had the confidence and had some space and dropped it.
So, Ralph Sampson, Michael Jordan, Utah series. Stockton did it against the Rockets when Charles Barkley, Pippen, and company were there. Stockton hits a game winner to move on. And Lillard has two buzzer beaters, game walk-off series, walk-off. It's pretty incredible when you think about it.
And then he goes, bye, Felicia.
That was the best.
The cup wave. Did you hear the comments from Paul George?
Yeah, that was the best, though. After he hits it, and you got to look, you got to watch it closely, he does the bye-bye to the bench of Oklahoma City.
The series was over. You know, that was it. And I was just waving goodbye to him. And after game three, you know, Dennis Schroeder was out there pointing to his wrist.
Ooh.
They was out there doing all these celebrations and doing all this stuff, and we kept our composure. After one win, that was what they decided to do. And we was just like, okay, what we want to do is win four games. And then when we win those four games, it's not going to be nothing to talk about. So that's what that was.
I got to say this, too. And as much as we talk about Russell Westbrook, this dude never pressed or panicked. His team would be up, he kept playing the same way. They'd be down, he kept playing the same way. You get a sense when you watch Russell, we're down, I got to score, and I'm going to the basket, I'm reckless,
You know,
this dude was calm, cool, and collected.
Russell Westbrook at times in the series looked like, remember the guy that does all the impressions of the NBA players in the driveway?
Yes.
That's what Russell Westbrook was doing last night. So when we're going to play the Paul George soundbite, we got it for you in the postgame. He's throwing some shade. Oh, it's a bad shot. Yeah, you just got beat in five games. And by the way, Paul George, if you're looking for somebody to yell at, you might want to look over at your teammate who shot 10 for 41.
Good law.
Two games and combined for 14 points each. Here's Paul George, who's really magnanimous in victory. Not.
I mean, that's a bad shot. I don't care what anybody says. That's a bad shot. But, hey, he made it. That story won't be told that it was a bad shot. You live with that.
All right.
To me, now I was going around with guys on Twitter. Magnanimous in defeat, by the way. Nobody likes, you know, again, a sore loser. You just say, look, I tip my cap. He made a shot.
That's it.
You know, but that's it. But don't sit there and go, it's a bad shot. No, look at the guy next to you who's taking those every night, and they're not going in this series.
Well, no, they didn't. And I got to say this. You know, for everything that we talk about Westbrook, it's Dukes and Bell, it's headlines. He hadn't done anything in these playoffs. And I'm not talking about these playoffs. Let's go back a couple of years ago when they played Golden State in the Western Conference Finals. God, we forget.
Right.
All right. And they had him up 3-1, Durant, before you wimped out and left. And then Golden State comes back, okay? Since then, the Thunder, Mike, have been knocked out of the first round the past two seasons. That is all Westbrook. That's triple-double guy. Look at me. Look at Oscar Robinson. Look at me.
Mm-hmm.
First round, last two seasons. So all of that, and this is what I talk about with James Harden, for all of that show, it means nothing when you get to this moment in the playoffs where legacies are built.
Right. And, I mean, this is one of the great playoff shots. Now, again, you know, it's not a conference final. It's not an NBA final. But it's a big win for Rip City, and they're on because, look, they were only 5 wins better than Oklahoma City over the course of the season. Right, and I know they got a decent point guard. They got Enes Kanter, but I mean, to me, it should be a rub when you got Paul George and Russell Westbrook, who are supposed to be two of the biggest stars in the league.
Yeah, it should have been.
And by the way, again, Dennis being Dennis, it motivated if nothing else.
Schroeder,
Portland, because Schroeder's acting like a jackass after they do finally win a game in the series.
There is a tweet that's out. It's got all the guys around the league reacting to that shot last night. Even guys like Matthew Dellavedova tweeting out, "Wow, that was crazy." D. Wade, I mean, you name it, guys all around the league, because guys are watching. And it's interesting to see all these tweets. I'll retweet this out, but it's just basically the screenshots of all the tweets from NBA guys that were watching it. And then, like, Channing Frye, what did I just watch? That was the best playoff game I've watched in a very long time. These are guys that play in the league.
Right. And by the way, Paul George, as we said to start this this part of the headlines, he did his job in the series. He had monster nights for Oklahoma State, but Russell Westbrook didn't live up to his end of it in two of the bigger games.
All right, Mike, real quick, as we talk some headlines, we're talking NBA playoffs. We both love game sevens in hockey. Guys, the Sharks come back from three goals, all right? They score 3 in the third period. I thought this was a wrap. I thought Vegas was moving on, Mike, and they lose in overtime 5-4 last night.
Yeah, if you didn't see it, how it went down last night, it was just unbelievable to get a penalty called. It's one thing now, if you guys watch hockey on a regular basis, and judging on the ratings, you don't. When there's a face-off, sometimes the player will then lift up and cross-check the guy, move one of the players on attack out of the circle. And that's just to take that guy out for a quick pass or something back. And that happens all the time. It just so happened that the Sharks player is off balance, and he goes basically butt over tea kettle and lands on his head. The refs only see the results. They didn't see how it started. Normally, Carl, that would be a 2-minute for cross-checking tops. 5-minute major. That means even when you score on the power play continues. The man advantage continues. And San Jose was dead in the water, down 3-0, is able to tie it. And then in overtime, I mean, it was a relatively soft goal, by the way, to win it.
It was.
The Knights lost their mojo.
Yeah. Bruins advance as well. But the Sharks, that was just – it was one of those comebacks for the ages. It really was.
By the way, the Bruins continue to own the Maple Leafs. That's 6 playoff series now in a row that the Bruins have beat the Maple Leafs as Toronto's trying to make some hay. And Boston just keeps on rolling.
More on What the Puck podcast coming soon. Hey, coming up, though, we're going to talk more about this draft, guys, and some information you need to hear about our Falcons next. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. We are excited. Mike said it is like Christmas. You know why, though, with the draft? You get a chance, we get a chance, to see our team reshaped,
mm-hmm.
right? And then we get excited about the possibilities of what these players are going to do. Think back to last year. The first was shock and kind of awe with Calvin Ridley. Like, we really did that?
Right.
And then Mike and I remember the next day. Mike, you remember this. We're up at Flowery last year. This week we'll be at Twin Peaks. We'll hopefully get a chance to talk to the first pick on Friday. And Calvin comes into the room, and he had a chip on his shoulder. He walks in. He had his draft hat on. I think he might have had a Falcons hat on. It was the next day. And he was excited. But you could tell, like, I'm ready to get to work. There was something to be said about the fact that he was not the first receiver taken last year. Mm-hmm. We didn't know that. But as we got into the conversation with him, he's letting us know, yeah, man, you know what? I'm ready to get to work. Let's go. That turned into 10 touchdowns. And so the excitement of the draft itself is one thing. But then when you get the player you get, all right, that's when it starts to get really exciting.
Well, certainly the Falcons have had some dramatic moments, you know, some before Thomas and company got here. Now, nothing bigger for us than the Julio swap when you moved all the way up to the Browns to get Julio Jones in 2011. And we've come close. We've been to two NFC championships, and we should have won a Super Bowl. But for me, as a Falcon fan, Carl, the one I'll never forget was being out in Vegas with Drunk Larry, Tony, and the guys, and we're hanging out, and the word comes down that the Falcons are going to trade up from 5 to number 1 to get Mike Vick. And they say they trade a second and a third, and Tim Dwight was our kick return guy. Because, I mean, that was just so un-Atlanta, so un-Falcon, so un-everything that we've come to expect in this town. I mean, this is a town that trades Dominique away. I mean, so for a lot of people, it was like, wow, we are going to be the thing. We're going to be it. And we got a little glimpse. Dan Reeves was kind of slow on the trigger. They put Mike in there here and there. Finally got to start a little bit in the second half against the Dolphins. I think it was an 0-1. And, of course, 2002, we go and beat the Packers in the playoffs. But just, Carl, the buzz that created, this town was going bananas that we were going to get one of the most explosive players, who, of course, you had seen a previous year in that national championship game against Florida State.
Anytime you do that, when you get a chance to get the first overall pick, that's a whole nother level of excitement. I mean, getting to 5 or 10 or even 13 if you're at 20, that's a big move. When you go get the number one guy, that's a different feeling. And the reason is because when you go number one overall, and here's the pressure that's going to be on Kyler Murray, I believe once he gets selected, and it's on all number one picks, you are now saying that in the next decade, the next 10 years, you at some point will lead us to a Super Bowl. That is the pressure that comes with the number one pick. Mike, it is a pick in which all the expectations that should be on a player should be there at number one, because you're getting a franchise-changing kind of player.
The thing was, though, in hindsight, the Chargers did get LaDainian Tomlinson, and he's in the Hall of Fame. And, like, I'm not going to have to rehash what happened with old number 7 here. Unfortunately, it was, you know, unfulfilled potential at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, and that's I'll leave it at that. But they were able to get Drew Brees later as well, so they were still able to get their quarterback, and eventually they moved on from Drew after he had his shoulder issues, and the rest is history there. But what a year that was, man. 2001 for Atlanta fans, it was bananas.
404-741-0929. One guy that's on the board, we talked a little bit the other day about Brian Burns, and I mentioned this, and him being in the mix, Florida State, edge rusher, okay? Another guy is Montez Sweat. Now, Mike and I are hopefully going to get a chance here to talk to him coming up in the 4 o'clock hour around 4:20 today. Here's a guy that killed it at Miss State. 2 seasons, 22 and a half sacks, voted first team all SEC twice. He lit up the Senior Bowl. Everybody left the Senior Bowl. Everybody I talked to was like, He was the talk. Then you get to the combine and he crushes it, okay? So physically he's a freak. And guess what? He's from the ATL. So here's a guy that's in our backyard that could ultimately end up with the Falcons, all right? I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I will tell you that he's one of those guys on the board that they've been talking about, Mike, and he's an interesting prospect.
Well, if you feel that it's best athlete available, or, you know, because I think the one thing with Vic is when you pick Vic's option up, the fact that you're eating $12.8 million for a guy that, other than Beasley's immediate family, no one thinks he's going to get up to double-digit sacks. I've even got a bet on this deal. So, I mean, I'm hoping I'll be wrong, and I'm hoping that he's part of a defense which helps drive us all the way to the Super Bowl and win it this time. But, I mean, that was the thing. It kind of precludes you in the minds of some people, Carl, from going defensive end that may be more likely defensive tackle. But regardless, if Vic balls out, he might price himself out of your range anyway, because you still got Julio and Matt on the hook, and you still got to take care of Debo next year. So you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. The point I'm getting to is, if Quinn really, really likes him, and we'll trust Dan Quinn when it comes to pass rush, I believe, right? Then a guy like Montez Sweat is not out of the realm of the possible.
6'6", 260.
Well, impossible.
6'6", 260. 6'6". It's a big dude. 4'4", 40. 4'4".
Speed with power. I mean, it's a combination. You've seen he can do. You saw the way he can do it. He can throw guys around, and he can beat you with speed in the SEC against guys who are going to start in the NFL.
That's it, man. I mean, to me, there are a lot of reasons. We talk about checking the boxes. You hear that, right? That's the phrase now. It used to be think out of the box, I think. Now it's check all the boxes.
Right.
This dude checks all the boxes. So He's an interesting guy. And again, Mike, one of the things we've talked about over the last few years, and we make fun with it with Thomas, like, can we get some more SEC guys? Now, they love LSU players.
Right.
Right? We've seen that. Can we get some more of these other guys? So we'll see where they go, but that is a guy that's definitely on the board when it comes to our Falcons. We're going to have more in the Falcon Report coming up. But Montez Sweat, guys, out of Miss State, set to join us at 4:20. So we're looking forward to seeing what he has to say here on the program.
A couple of mock drafts where Christian Wilkins is still going to us. There's a couple of mock drafts where if you like him, and that's the guy that I've been talking about. Again, two schools of thought also, as you said yesterday. Swing for the fences. Bunk was talking about it earlier today. Trading up and go getting a big guy, and then you're fine. You know, you got not only do you have a guy who's going to be amazing to make your whole defensive line better, a guy that could be the bedrock of your D-line for a decade if you get a guy like Quinnen Williams. It's tempting. Then there's always the fact you do need some things like corner. And if you feel that Dan doesn't feel comfortable with just all he's got right now in-house, then you go tackle and you go get a corner in the second round. Because then that guy Isaiah Johnson might be there from Houston that you were looking at.
Johnson! 404-741-0929. That's the corner out of Houston. Also long, fast, and I think, I won't say underrated. Guys in the league, in the NFL, no. But I don't think the average college fan might have known who Isaiah Johnson was. He's going to be a guy that could be a corner in this league for a very long time. Hey, man, we're going to talk more NFL conversation as we go around the league. We mentioned this Big Ben has a deal. Here's what's interesting about this, Mike. I think he's locked up now until 40. And I was thinking about Matt Ryan's deal, and I don't know how long Matt wants to play. Obviously, he's going to play through this contract, this new extension that goes into effect this year. But is this what's going to happen? If Matt's 37 and he's still playing, and Ben's playing at a high level, and then, you know, because now we see him, he's going to finish his career with the Steelers.
Yeah, it's a little bit on the light side, I thought. You and I both kind of saw the deal and said, hey, that's interesting how much he signed for. Now, whether that, I don't think, you know, Ben's trying to send a message to the team. If he is, it's a hell of a sacrifice to say yes, despite what you heard from Antonio Brown. I'm all about the team and whatever. Go get yours. I think most guys would tell him. But either way, it's definitely Steeler-friendly, the way the contract looks. Mm. Certainly more friendly than the last deal that Drew Brees did with the Saints.
So we'll talk more about that. Marshawn Lynch also. The Saints happy for back-to-back West Coast games. We talked about our schedule. We really didn't talk about anyone else. The day it came out, we were mentioning that the Saints schedule got basically released in our division more than anybody else's. And everybody else was kind of waiting to see where these games are going to fall. But Sean Payton talking about that. And also, Jameis Winston. We've talked a lot about this. And in our division, now he's got a new coach. And what Bruce Arians is saying about Jameis, at least so far in the offseason, is he going to be able, speaking of pushing the buttons, is he going to be able to push the button with Jameis?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Remember last year, Jameis, and we've talked about this before in the NFL Blitz, last year, Jameis wanted to lose weight. He wanted to be a little more, you remember, he wanted to be more mobile. This year, he's actually put on the size, so okay, see where that goes. Bruce Arians, he's taxed with trying to get this guy to, you know what, if it works for Jameis, he'll thank Bruce Arians, because then he's going to get a real multi-year contract. Mm. They had to pick up the option. They were in no man's land on that one. But he's got a bunch of coaches fired. You got Lovie Smith fired. You got Dirk Cutter fired. And what's going to happen with Bruce? We love Bruce Arians, by the way. Everyone's had a chance to meet him. I think he's going to get – he might be able to get something out of him. Maybe Dirk wouldn't. I don't know. But Tampa Bay is a team that, you know, they still got some pieces. I don't know about McCoy at this stage. There's rumors about them trying to move Gerald McCoy. You know, I'll believe it when I see it with Tampa Bay. Now, again, they find a way to beat us once in a while, but I'm still not necessarily sold on Tampa Bay under Jameis.
I am not. I'm not either. The year we thought he was going to take the jump, he regressed. So,
right.
You know, I don't know. One of my friends at the airport just sent me a picture of Air Force One for you, Craig, saying Air Force One visible today at the ATL airport. Yes, Craig got stuck behind the motorcade.
It's cool that Craig wore his MAGA hat today, though.
That is true.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.